with us. Welcome to East Texas. Not your first time here. He's lived here before. I know the story. But he is our district superintendent of the North Texas District of Assemblies of God. And we've asked him to come and bless us and encourage us and advise us today. Welcome, Brother Pastor Rick. He's my pastor. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Joe. God bless you. Well, it's good to be with everybody today. This has been fun already. Even if we just went home right now, this would have been a good experience. Amen. The worship and the praying over the folks going out to reach the lost and everything involved, it's just already been a worthwhile day. Y'all tell me what to do and I'll do it. That sounds, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, let's work on this. 1, 2, 3, 4. Turn the bass off, he said. I don't know. Is that better? Can you hear me now? Sound like a cell phone commercial, doesn't it? Right there? All right, there you go. That sounds pretty good. All right, sounds good to me anyway, and I don't know what you're hearing. And if you're happy, I'm happy. They always try to make me sound more manly, but they just can't pull it off. So I appreciate the effort, guys. Try what you can, do your best. My little old squeaky voice is what it is. Well, it's so good to be with everybody today. And Reed and I got the car this morning, headed to East Texas pretty early from our house, and there's that transformation where you kind of leave the Metroplex and you begin to see a few pine trees and you know there's hope. And then finally there's pine trees everywhere. And we're driving along and about, I don't know, a little, probably 30 miles before you get to the exit on 69, there's that beautiful little pond off to the right up in the trees. Y'all know where I'm talking about? It's always there. It's been there every time so far, you know. And every time I look at that, I think, I wish I owned that. I'd build a little house right there overlooking that place, and then I would never leave. You know, that would be it. I'd just stay. Gorgeous little place. So good to be back in East Texas. But it's especially good to be at the house that Joe built. Jesus gives us an incredible principle when he says, never judge anything except by its fruit. And then he requires us to judge fruit. That's a whole nother thing. So when it comes time to make the decision, it's not on what the tree looks like, it's on what it produces. You can never judge a seed. A lot of seeds look alike. You can say, well, this is the seed I want to plant, but be careful, because unless you know what fruit that seed came from, you're not sure what you're going to get. And a lot of times people are out planting fruit. There's a lot of sinful fruit, amen? We plant those things. We plant those seeds. Galatians is clear when this passage I'm fixing to read, prior to the text, part of the text this morning, there's a little statement where Paul, before he said, I'm going to deal with seeds this morning. We're getting there. But before he says that, he says, there are these things which are the work of flesh and the sinful ways. And he describes debauchery and all the sins that go with it. And then he said, and then there are the fruits of the Spirit. And then he describes what we call the fruit of the Spirit. In a sense, he is saying that every Christian has two sacks of seed. One is the seed that the flesh has, and the other is the seed that the Spirit brings. And when it comes time to plant, if you whichever sack you plant out of, whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. So it's important to be careful that you don't keep planting the same old seeds that got you in trouble to start with, but you reach over and to the hand in the bag of the Holy Spirit and pull out His seeds. Plant what He's given, maybe, because when you do that, you bless your future. So you can't judge it by a seed unless you know where the seed came from. And you can't judge a tree by how it looks. There are trees that look like they're one kind of tree, but when the fruit comes, come to find out it's not that tree at all. They even have trees today that are designed to be fruitless on purpose. I think we have some Christians that are... That's another story in another place. We won't preach that today. You've heard of the fruitless mulberry and the fruitless pear. We have some fruitless Christians. The truth is, though, you can't really be fruitless. You're going to bear something. Well, I said this is the house that Joe built because I know the man well enough to know that this would be a fruitful place. And I couldn't wait to get here this morning and come in the door. And the life and the joy and the celebration that was in the hallway and around the coffee pot, it just is, It's just right. It's just healthy. It's just righteous. Joe and Charlotte, you guys are phenomenal. We love you so much, and we so appreciate you. Incredible. From the time I hear one of the presbyters that's now a regional executive presbyter talks about when he used to work for you in the grocery store business, I hear stories about people and what a good businessman, what a fair businessman, but a man that expected to get what he paid for. I've heard all those things about you, that you knew how to run the company, but you always had a heart for God. And then the hand of God would get a hold of you and not turn you loose and pull you into this ministry. You are a man of great faith and a man of righteousness. And you have blessed the kingdom of God. I believe with all my heart that you are an example to us all. Those who know you and those who don't, if they did, would be glad to follow your example. You are a phenomenal couple. What God's been able to do through you and what we call Calvary Commission, it is that on its own, and you have brought it to a place where it can go on without you, but it's still you. It still comes out of who God made you to be. And I'm just so honored, and I'm just so blessed to come in and see some more of your fruit that fills this room. And when these seeds are all planted, poor devil, he don't have a chance. I don't know what to say. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. How awesome it is. Well, I want to preach to you a little bit today. I'll leave my glasses up here, but I'm so blind I can't see them. I didn't know where I put them. I can see. I see real well, but you got to be 6 foot away. As it gets closer, it gets blurry. Let me read this little passage of Scripture to you. It's a series of passages. I'm going to put it all together in a minute. It starts in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and then we're going to go to Ecclesiastes 3, and finally, the Scripture I want you to hold on to is Galatians 6, verse 8. If you were to keep up with me, you may get lost. But watch this. It begins with this. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years." God established seasonal process early in what we call the process of creation. You can't become what He wants you to be if you're not willing to go through the seasons required. Somebody say amen. Now, by the time the wise man, the old King Solomon, would come along, he would write it this way, Ecclesiastes 3:1. "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time." We're still dealing with seasons here. So then Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." King James even uses the term season there. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to speak to us today. Teach us today. We just pull up our stool and sit down in front of you, the great teacher. The Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. You have been sent to teach us. Sometimes, God, we keep making the same mistakes because we haven't learned what we need to know. We're weary of not doing our best. We want to pull up a stool this morning and say, just teach us, Jesus. Teach us. And when we ask that, we ask it because you have the ability to teach each one of us all at the same time as though we were the only student in the room. knowing how to speak to us in a way that we can hear and understand and grasp the truth that you're releasing. So we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in this house to teach us these things, that we may rise up and walk out the fullness of your will, and that we may become that beautiful thing that you meant for us to be in our time. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a powerful understanding of seasons and times. It was interesting to me when I began to study this was so many, many years ago when I was studying through the process of creation. I got to the first part, which the day one is let there be light. It's about revelation. Day two was about how God brought and created atmosphere. I love to preach on atmosphere. It's so important. Most of us get in trouble because we grew up in the wrong atmosphere, because we were in an atmosphere that was conducive to the wrong thing. Some of us, like me, I grew up in a Christian atmosphere, and it's produced in me a quick understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm an early adopter of the truth of Jesus Christ because of the atmosphere that somebody ruled over that atmosphere and created an opportunity for us. So boy, I could go on that all day long. It's powerful. It's important. Matter of fact, let me say this. If you're in an atmosphere when you leave the house of God that is not conducive to what God's doing in your life, quit going to that atmosphere. Because atmosphere rules. It's powerful. So the second thing God did after revelation was establish atmosphere. Well, that takes too long. Then as soon as atmosphere, the next day he structures, he organizes, he puts together some structure. Sometimes us spiritual Pentecostal people, we're afraid of structure. And yet before God poured out the Spirit, and oh, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. He was there and present. But before Pentecost, God had already established structure. You've got to have structure because structure limits or releases. And so then the next day, he establishes seasons. He takes all that he had done, and then he says, but you can't get there all at once. You have to go through a process or a seasonal process. So for instance, if you want to take a city for God, what you do is you put one good Christian in the middle of it. One good Christian, he's the seed, she's the seed. That seed then begins to reproduce in season, has some impact. But those people that are first one have to be discipled and trained and go through a seasonal process. And then when it's time, you plant them. It's just like a garden. You can come with one season to a good piece of soil and in season, plant that seed in the season, in the right time, when it should be planted, and it'll grow up in its turn and it'll produce one plant with fruit. In those different pieces of fruit will be multiple seeds. So next season, you can plant a whole lot more seeds than you planted the first season. And then the next season, you can plant a whole lot more than that. And then one day, 5 or 6 seasons, 5 or 6 years into the process, you look up and that one season has now produced 50 or 60 plants producing multiple fruit, more than enough for not only you and your family, but for your friends. But it all started because you were faithful with the first seed God put in your hand and you understood the season in which it should be planted. Are you still keeping up this morning? Seasons are very important. Seeds are important. You can't separate seeds and seasons. You have to embrace the power of a seed. But if you don't understand the seasons, then you can plant the seed out of season and produce nothing. You just lose it. So you've got to know the seasons of God and that in His season, in His time, He brings all things into their potential, into their beauty. But if you don't understand His seasons, you'll not see it happen. Wow. So with that in place, we begin to understand that God's up something in our life. Sometimes what we don't understand is the seasons. We understand the revelation He's given us. We understand the structure. We understand the importance of atmosphere. But we get impatient with God because we're trying to get a harvest when it's time to plant. We don't get the seasonal process of what God's doing. We must embrace His seasonal process and be happy about the season and not just like the one favorite season, which I'll deal with in just a moment. See, God is calling us to work with Him, not just for Him. He's calling us to walk in rhythm with Him, with His ways, with His times, with His season. He's tired of us asking Him to change the season. He's tired of us saying, I want this season. Sometimes, be careful now. Sometimes we're saying, God send revival, and God said, that's a seasonal thing. You're not ready for revival. But if you'd embrace the season you're in, when it comes, you'll be ready. I'll deal with that a little more. He's calling. See, if we were to move God into our tempo of rhythm of life, we would be messing Him up big time. We'd have our seasons out of order. We'd have them too short, too long, too this, too that. We'd be saying, now this, now that. And man, the sun wouldn't know whether to be close or far away. The poor earth would be jerked around so much, people would fall off. Because God has this plan that has already been set in motion. His plan doesn't need to be changed. We need to learn to participate with it. We need to learn to embrace the season. When it's winter, you do winter stuff. When it's summer, you do summer stuff. You don't ask God, Lord, turn this summer into winter. Now, we've had a day or two in Texas when we kind of wanted to pray that. But the reality is, it is what it is. He set it in motion in creation. He set certain things in motion when the church was birthed. There's certain processes that have been released. And understanding how to participate in the rhythm that he's already given us. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I believe that part of our weariness comes because we're trying to do something he's not doing, because we're not in yoke with him. We're not in cadence with him. We're not in rhythm with him. Yoke is about relationship, not strength. Yoke is Jesus is here and I'm here, and Jesus says, come on, get in my yoke with me. Yoke always means more than one. So he's there and he's asking me to join him. Come be a part of what I'm doing. So I can't say to him, Lord Jesus, I'm over here doing this. Why don't you come over here and bring your yoke and hook up to me and help me do what I'm trying to do? And he said, are you as smart as you think you are? Because I think I'm smarter. I think I know the plan, have the understanding. What I want you to do is I want you to come over here and get in my yoke. See, sometimes we're just saying, we're too busy trying to get God to bless what we're doing. I know that's an old cliche, but we're trying to get God to bless what we're doing rather than do what he's blessing. What his rhythm is, we go, and so he says, come on, my yoke. So it's about relationship. If we had hours today, we could simply walk through all the passages where we see in the scripture God's greatest concern is a relationship with us. Before he wants to get something out of us, before he wants us to do something, he wants us to be with him. That's always the priority. We can get so busy doing that we forget about the being, that we forget the yoke is there to keep us close to him. We're tied in where he is. And he said, come on, let's fellowship. Let's be together. Let's walk together, talk together, spend time together. Let's have this incredible yoke. I have a rhythm to what I'm doing. And the best way for you to stay in rhythm with me is to stay in fellowship with me. And as we walk together in fellowship, we walk in that rhythm. And when I slow down, you have to slow down. If I speed up, you have to speed up. Now, the weight of the ministry, the weight of the work, the weight of our life is not on our side of the yoke. The farmers tell me that you can adjust a yoke so that one of the animals in the yoke carries more of the load than the other animal. You can literally put it in such a way so that the big horse has to pull a little more of the yoke than the small horse. Otherwise, they're going to constantly be going in circles. And so it literally creates a level of fairness to the process so that the little guy is working hard, but it's not really him pulling the load. He's there and he's helping, but everybody knows it's the big old Clydesdale, not the Shetland pony, that's making the difference. And so God, Jesus, is the Clydesdale and we're the pony. But God said, you're almost like, God, I'm not even really necessary here. God said, I'm glad you finally figured that out. That is, we are making great strides here. Now, it's not that he does. And here's the problem with his yoke. Well, it's not the problem. It's the reality of his yoke is the world can't see him. They look at us and they see us and they think we're doing it. And if you're not careful, you'll let them convince you that you matter. That's worse in the church when God uses you to do something. It's him doing it. He's the big God. They see the little you and they think, oh, what a great preacher. Oh, what a great leader. Oh, what a great man. Oh, what a great singer. Oh, what a great. And the truth is, if there's any good in us, it's because of the yoke that we're hooked to him and he's bringing it forward. And when they brag on us and say, aren't you special? We need enough wisdom to smile at them and say, can't you see him? He's doing this. I'm simply in rhythm with Him. It was incredible because I'm walking in rhythm with what He's doing. It's His season. It's His activity. I'm doing what He's doing. And because of it, the weight that's on Him, it's successful because of Him and because of the yoke that's connected us. Which means for us little Shetland ponies, there's hope. It means for those of us who know we don't bring much to the table, for those who know we don't have all the great gifts, for those who know we have more weakness than we have strength, but we bring it, it's all right. Once I yoke with Him, even in my weakness, He's made strong. In my inability, He is able to be and do what He's called to do. It's connection to Him. It's all about that yoke. And He says it's easy. And sometimes it doesn't seem easy to us. It doesn't seem easy for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is because we get ahead of Him, or we try to. He's going along at His steady Clydesdale pace, doing what He's doing, right in time with what His plan is. And all of a sudden we decide, because we see somebody else that He's working in, go past us. And we just hate being passed. How many of you, when you drive, feel like you don't? It's a sin for somebody to pass you? Competition. Driving is a competition. I've explained that to Rita before. It's not about a rival. It's about winning. This is a competitive sport. We call it driving. I'm that way too. This morning, I was trying to stay honest and not get tickets, so I set my cruise at about 3 over. You know what? Probably Joe Foss sets his right on the money because he's a righteous man. But I have a tendency to see what I think I can get away with. And so 3 or 4 over. So I'm set. You know, once it gets 75, thank Jesus for 75. However that happened, that's a good thing. And so I'm at about 78. Well, I'm following a pickup with 2 dirt bikes on a trailer. And we're doing good. And then he decides to slow down. So I slip around him, keep going. And then he comes up behind me, and then he passes me. And he does that. This happens a couple of times, and I'm thinking, come on, fella. If you're in church today, I'm glad you're here. I don't know who you are, but I was thinking, just use your cruise control, man. This speeding up, going, driving me crazy. Anyway, but then people pass me, and then I'm thinking, now I have bait. Somebody that'll get the ticket first. That's what I mean. And so I can pull in behind them and go whatever speed they're going. I keep them just far enough out there that they'll catch the rest. Do you ever do that kind of stuff? All you sinners, stand up. We're going to have repentance this morning. No, I'm kidding. There is that tendency in us to want to win. And even in the Christian world, we want to be the first one to do the next new thing God's doing. We have that tendency to want God to speak to us. We want to be at least as good as every other Christian. And if a church is growing faster than ours, or a ministry is moving different than ours, or somebody is becoming used of God in the spiritual gifts different or more than us, all of a sudden, if we're not careful, we find ourselves trying to catch up with them. And so we begin to pull. And Jesus said, we're doing fine. Stay right with me. This is right where you're supposed to be doing just what I'm doing in you. Just stay with me and enjoy the fellowship. But we have a tendency to go, well, no, Lord, I'm with you. But, you know, we could lap that rascal. I'm telling you, if you just work with me here and we start pulling against the yoke. Are you with me? We're kicking dirt up. We're acting like we're a little bull, but we're really just a little Shetland. But we're kicking that dirt, and we're pushing against that thing. And then at the end of a few weeks of our Christian life, we all of a sudden are weary. And we're saying, Lord, I'm weary. And He said, well, I guess. And it's really and there's another time. Sometimes the Lord is leading us into a situation, and when we look up and see the situation, we say, I don't think I want to go there, Lord. He said, I'm going with you. Don't worry. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Just stay in the yoke. And then we start, we start pulling against the yoke. So Jesus is pretty heavy duty, and He's moving right along where He's going. But we're fighting and kicking and pulling, and we get all nervous and fearful. And then that'll wear you out. Are you with me? We just say, man, God, I'm tired. I'm weary. I can't keep doing this. Well, why are you? Won't you just trust me, and let's just walk right on into that. And the Lord leads us to new ministry, new opportunities, new cities, new places, new work, new things we don't know. And all that fear turns into weariness. Just stay in fellowship. If you'll stay in fellowship, you'll stay in rhythm, and you'll move into the seasons of God. Are you with me still? Yeah. Sometimes, though, sometimes we see where God's taking us, and we just dig our heels in. And now he's dragging us. It's all he can do to get us there. And he's doing his best. And you can disobey and miss God. You can get out of the yoke. And what happens is we're fighting God. That's not right. I don't want to go in the ministry. Boy, he's heard that before. And we're just digging in, and he's pulling, and we're fighting back, and he's just plodding along. And then finally, we just say, Lord, I am so tired. And he said, well, you're tired because you're not relaxing and letting me lead. My yoke is easy if you'll let it be. Sometimes we get out of the yoke because we're weary. How many people have left the ministry saying, I'm just too tired? Why are you tired? Well, the people did this and the people did that, and the money wasn't there and this wasn't there. The question is, has God ever left you or forsaken you? The goal of the yoke is stay in fellowship with Jesus. He's got the weight on him. Sometimes you don't see him either. That's when the issue happens. It's one thing when the world can't see him and all they can see is you and they try to glorify you, but it's even worse when you lose sight of him. When you forget he's doing this. There he is. He's right here. And you hear that still small voice, that comfort of the Holy Spirit, just enough to keep you going. And he keeps moving. I got to keep an eye on the clock, because my wife says I preach too long. And she's right. Now, y'all want a little more? All right, if you'll let me, I'll go a little deeper. What happens in this process is, and what God first established in this whole seasonal thing, he established a seasonal process and four basic seasons of life that we're all familiar with. Spring, summer, fall, and winter. We're familiar with those seasons. Those same seasons are very significant in the spiritual development of our life. And when you understand how those seasons function, and you understand that they can happen to you, it helps you not overreact or pull away at the wrong time. It's okay, because you need those seasons for the development to continue of who you are and what God's doing through you and what he's going to do, and what seed and fruit he's going to bring out of your life. Let's talk about spring for a minute. The spring season of our life is what we would call in the church world revival. I like revival. Do you like revival? What is revival? What is spring? Spring is that time in life where almost for no explainable reason, everything comes back to life. You can't help it. You can't stop it. You can't enable it. You got to deal with it because stuff's going to grow. Bad stuff grows. Good stuff, it just grows. Spring comes. Trees get buds on them. We have a swimming pool at our house, and we have trees. And let me give you a little word of wisdom from God. Choose one or the other. The two don't mix. And so our trees, they bloom. We have some pretty nice pecan trees. And those little pecan trees put off these little wiggly things, and it throws out, and then it fills up my pool. Well, I can't stop them. I can get up there and say, oh, tree, stop it. But he's still going to do it. The only way that I could stop it would be to cut the tree down, but I like the pecan. So you got to take the mess if you want the meat. You know, there it's just part of the life. So I got all the, it's falling, and I can't stop it. At the same time, when my trees begin to do that, my grass starts turning green. And it wasn't because I stood up and prophesied and said, oh, yard, before me, green! And then it started turning green. That's not how it works, is it? That's not the process. No, it's springtime. And when spring comes, it turns green. Think about that. Sometimes in our spiritual life, we're thinking that we need another prophetic word. Sometimes we think we need this something else that we don't have. When the truth is, what we're trying to do is get God to finish a season early and start the next one we're looking for. But we're in a season. And all the prophetic words in the world are not going to change the season. It's what God's doing. It's why it's time. It's time. I love it when revival comes to church. It's a wonderful time. When revival comes to the house of the Lord, it's the rain of the Spirit, because you begin to get those rains, and God begins to pour His Spirit out in the church. God begins to pour His Spirit out in our life. The atmosphere, remember we talked about the importance of atmosphere. There's an atmospheric shift. Things that wouldn't grow, now you can't keep them growing. Things you couldn't stop, you can't start. You couldn't start, you can't stop. Worship is easy. During revival, worship is when the preacher says, "Let's worship." Everybody's exploding on him. He can't hardly stop them. They want to worship. There's an excitement. There's life in the house. Worship is powerful. Prayer is, it's easier to get a prayer meeting during revival time. We're going to have prayer and people show up. It's the craziest thing in the world. It's just phenomenal during revival. You can say, "Boy, I must be doing something right." No, you're not. It's just a good season. Look at what I'm getting done. You're not any better now than you were before. It's a season. It's what God's doing. You can talk about it. Preaching is exciting and fun and easy. So that's from the church. But in your personal life, during your revival time, you go into your devotional closet, and boy, God's just right there waiting on you. His Spirit, His presence is rich and it's real and it's wonderful. And you're just enjoying God. You're just drinking at the fountain of the Lord. And there's this all new stuff and it's just life. And you feel it, and peace and joy and all the stuff that you read about. And you can't understand why everybody's not as happy as you are, because you're in a season of revival. You're in a spring and it's just flowing. And you think, man, I have figured out how to please God. I have figured out the process. I have got this down. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to have this incredible, wonderful experience of God. That's what you think. But the truth is, you're in a wonderful season. But it's not the only season. Saxie experienced revival when I was pastor that lasted for multiple years, and a lot of people got saved. It was an incredible time that would take too long for me to tell you about, but it was wonderful. And one night, on a Sunday night, we didn't always do Sunday nights, but occasionally we did. We'd do it for just see what God would do. And we'd had this incredible Sunday night service. There were so many people slain in the Spirit, they were just laid all over the building. It was a divine move of God. I was tired. I'd preached a few times that morning and that night, and I was tired. I went and sat on the steps of the, we had kind of a step down platform. I sat on the steps and was just ready to go home and watch Gunsmoke. And I know you think that's crazy, but it's black and white. And what I've determined is black and white TV is okay after church. You know, it gives you a little unwind time. Anything else, you don't know what you're really going to get. But I knew with Gunsmoke. So I'm sitting on the platform, tired and ready to go home. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "This season is over. We're fixed to do something different." And I thought it was the devil, because I could not imagine anything better than what we were experiencing. Are you still listening to me? Because you need this. You need this. I couldn't imagine anything better than what we were experiencing. I couldn't imagine that God would ever do anything. I'd made statements like, "If you don't have a revival, get one." It's the best way to pastor a church. There's not a better way to do this than God moving by His Spirit like this. And then the Lord said, "No, I'm going to do something different." He began to have a talk with me. It took me a few days to work through what God was saying. Over those few days, one of the things He said was, "You have outgrown your root system. There's stuff going on you don't know about. You need the next season in order to become what you have the true potential of becoming. We can't just do spring." Are you with me? It was difficult, but God began to shift us into the next level of who we were. It was important. In our case, we had already really transitioned from spring to revival, or spring from revival to harvest, which is spring to summer. Summer is that time in our life where it's not quite as fun. The life is not quite flowing as much. It's not so much about celebration as it is about harvest. It's that shift where there's still a lot of life flowing. But now the life has been around long enough that it's brought forth fruit and it's time to harvest. Farmers teach me that when it comes time to harvest, that's all you do. During harvest season, you don't do anything but harvest. You don't eat much. You don't sleep much. You just harvest. And there are certain fruit, certain times, wheat, for instance, when if you don't harvest it quickly, you lose it. It has a shelf life, so to speak. It has a temporary time that from the time it's ready to the time it's no good anymore, that's when you have to get it in. There's this moment of opportunity. Jesus said, "Behold, the fields are wide unto harvest, and we've got to get them in." I don't totally understand that, but some farmers shared with us. I did a series of sermons on seeds and seasons and years ago, and these farmers shared a lot of information with me, and they were just fun to sit and drink coffee and let them talk. But one of the things they said was this. They said, when that statement, white unto harvest, I said, I'd never seen white wheat. Wheat's always gold. I said, golden wheat's harvestable wheat. Isn't that right? They said, you're right. They said, but there was a year that we all remember when the rains came again, just before we could get the harvest in. It was so bad we couldn't get in the field to bring in the harvest. And that extra moisture brought into the wheat literally turned it white. And we know once it's white, it's almost over. And that's a statement Jesus was making. It's not just ready, it's almost lost. And you've got to get it out now, so they can have a shelf life. So when it's harvest time, you harvest. And churches can be brought into a harvest time. And there's work to do. There's things to be done. There's work that's got to be, and you got to get it done. And so you get into that focus. It's not time to clean up. It's not time to prepare. You don't even have time to fix or repair, or you don't have time to straighten out problems hardly. You just kind of let it go, because we're in a harvest mode and souls are being won. And we'd kind of got into that mode where we were enjoying the harvest, and it was a lot of good that God was doing. And you can also in your personal life get into that time of harvest where the gifts you have given, the seed you have sown, the obedience, the work, the faithfulness, the words of seed, word is seed too, the words you have spoken, those things have come into time of harvest. There are times in your life when it's all about harvest. You just keep getting raises. Everything just keeps coming your way. Everything just keeps. And now it's not about just the joy of a revelation or the joy, excuse me, of the spring, but it's now the harvest, and you begin to gather it in. And when it's time to gather in the blessings of the Lord, they come in all kinds of ways. But it's harvest time, and you go out and harvest, and we can say, boy, I like harvest time. It's not as joyful. It's not as much about how it feels or emotion, but the actual result is incredible during the harvest seasons of my life. Churches have it. People have it. But that day when God spoke to me, he was saying the next season's coming. It was fall. What happens in the fall? It's during the fall that all the leaves come off the trees. You folks, unless you live in East Texas and have pine trees. I remember spring in East Texas, you get pollen, don't you? About 6 inches deep on your car. You can't even find your car underneath the yellow. They get snow up north. We get pollen down here. It's unbelievable. I remember digging through the pollen to find my car. I know what that's like. But there is that time when the leaves begin to fall off the hardwood trees. The fruit trees, they just drop their leaves. When that begins to happen, when fall comes and all the beauty comes off, all the pretty, all the stuff that we thought about our life that because of fall and because of fruit, we felt pretty good about ourselves. We can say, look at the fruit. Look at how pretty I am. Look at all. And we think we've done this. The truth is, it's the things God has done in our life. It's the mercy and the grace he's shown us. And he's brought this out. And now all of a sudden, he takes us into a season where by his mercy, his grace, his love, and his wisdom, his desire to see you become beautiful in your season, in your time. God makes all things beautiful in his time. He's ready to take you to a place and all the leaves and all the pretty falls off and all the stuff that people bragged about and that you thought made you special, God takes it away. Boy, that's an encouraging word, isn't it? I mean, you look out there, you were so pretty. People just sat under your shade and talked about the anointing on your life, and all of a sudden there's no leaves to form shade, and there's no fruit for anyone to eat of, and you don't know why. Because you're really doing what you were doing the whole time. If nothing else, you come to the reality, I didn't bring revival. I didn't cause harvest. It was the grace of God in his season and his wonder. And now I stand here bare, and I remember again, by his grace, I am sufficient. I remember again, it's not me, it's him. And it's such an important part of the process. We go through it individually. There are times in our life when we go into those times and we're saying, God, what have I done wrong? What have I done? The truth is, if God were to give us the list of all the times and everything we'd done wrong, we'd spend our whole life worried about our wrong. We're going to get to some stuff. But the reality is, God's bringing us back to the reality, to the truth that it's him and not us. That he, by his season, brought us into a time. And then in another season, he brought us into harvest. He has done this. And then he lets us stand empty and remember again that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's during that season. It's during that season that you have to get rid of stuff that needs to be gotten rid of. It's during that season that you can spot the limbs that grew up during the spring but did not produce fruit during the summer. Those limbs that grow up on the tree and they suck the life out of the tree, they suck the sap and the energy and the potential right up out of the tree, and all they do is grow themselves with it and never produce fruit. We have to cut those limbs off. John chapter 15, the husbandman comes into the garden and says, if you do not have fruit on you, I'm going to cut you off. That's what he said. He said, if you bore a little fruit, I'm going to trim you back. But if you didn't bear fruit, I'm going to cut you. When we were pastoring, God took us into a time after the harvest where he began to show us things and reveal things and uncover things and ministries, are y'all listening to me? I'm just checking in, making sure I still got your attention. Entire ministries had to be removed from the church because they sucked up prayer time, energy, people, and money and produced no fruit on the other end. But this is my ministry. Oh, shut up and get a life. Well, this is what I'm good at. No, it doesn't matter if you're good at it, if it's not good for the kingdom. This is what I'm comfortable with. Maybe you need to be uncomfortable. I'm telling you, when you begin to deal with people because they let their identity be formed around a certain ministry. And sometimes that ministry in one season did produce fruit, but in the next season of development, it's not necessary and it doesn't produce fruit. But now they've let it become the identity of who they are. So when church leadership comes in and says, I got to cut this off, they're just hollering and screaming, no, this is who we are. You should never let that become who you are. You should be the one yoked to Jesus. Your identity should be in him and what he's doing. And if he's not doing it anymore, you ought to celebrate the fact that somebody's helping you get shed of it so you can move on. That's East Texas if you're not new around here. So you can move on to what God's doing. That's what happens in that time. Things are removed. Things are revealed. I mean, when the leaves are gone, you can see whether or not it produced. So there's in your personal life, it's that time when your morning devotion is not so much now about, boy, I feel the presence of God. It's more about God saying, I want you to get this out. And now I want you to get this out. Now I don't want you to do that anymore. I want you to offer this to me. Let me remove it. I want to clean up. It's a different time. Man, we've had that wonderful revival time. We think we must be special. And now we're down to the next season, and we see this great harvest and all the blessing. And now we're in the season where God says, let me show you what we need to do before next season comes around. And he begins to cleanse and purge and wash us with the water of his word. During that time, we spend more time in the word almost than we do in prayer. It's a shift in what's happening in our personal devotion. It's a different season. It's a different activity. Are you keeping up? This is important for you. And I walk through this process. It's changing me. It's molding me. It's shaping me. It's cleansing me. It's making me different. Am I less spiritual in this season than I was in revival? No. No. Am I more unholy now that God's showing me my sin than I was when he just wasn't showing it to me? No, I was as unholy then as I am now. I just can see it better now. And now I'm saying, God, I can't believe you've put up with this. He said, me neither. And so we work through this process. And he doesn't really say that. And so we're working through this process as he is making us into, in this season, things are being purged, things are being changed. And then, I got to hurry. Then he takes the things in our life that did produce fruit and he cuts them back. But he leaves them. But he cuts them back. He prunes them. Why does he do that? Have you ever seen an old peach tree that's been pruned a number of years in a row? What happens is it gets all gnarly right there where you cut it back. It kind of grows this old gnarly looking thing. And then out of it may come 3, 4, 5, even 6 limbs out of the place where it was cut. And so that limb that once produced the fruit now becomes the provider for other fruit producers. It's a shift in ministry. So your ministry, during the spring and during the harvest time, I had this ministry. And then I go into the fall. God does appreciate the flow that was in me. And he cuts me back. But my ministry changes now. I no longer bear the fruit. I hold up those who bear the fruit. It's a shift. It puts the fruit a little further away and in the hands of others. But it allows me now to hold up 6 or 5 or 10 or whatever who are bearing the fruit. It's a role change. So often I come out of the fall with a different purpose than I was in the previous revival. Is that making sense to you? It's a shift of what He's going to do through me. It's a part of the natural progression of process. And it has to happen during the fall. And if I don't go into the fall, I'll never live up to my potential. You with me? This is big. This is a lot this morning, isn't it? But this church is an incredible church. And you deserve this. And I want you to get it. So it's this incredible process of what God's doing in our life that's bringing us forward, making us what He wants us to be. I know as a church, as a pastor of a church that had experienced such a move of God after the revival, and we went into harvest, and the harvest was so incredible, when we went into the time of the fall, I found myself preaching differently, preaching purging messages instead of harvest messages. The Lord led me to a different style of preaching. As a pastor, many pastors have a certain style or a certain season that's their favorite. There are guys who just want to preach revival. And that's fine as long as the church is in revival. There are other guys who just want to preach purging. They just want to clean up all the time. We call them legalistic. You know, everything's a sin, and we're going to find it, and we're going to deal with it today. You know, and so it's all about sin. And then there are those guys who just want to make everybody feel good, make everybody happy. And there are other guys just deep. Boy, they're always so deep that. You need to bring your waiters. I mean, it's deep. And so you got it. And all of that is important to the church. The question is, are you willing to do it in the season God's doing it? And as a minister or a pastor, you have to change. You have to change how you preach based on what God's doing in the church. So you can't just be deep, and you can't just be dealing with the sin, and you can't just be about harvest and just be about revival. You've got to do what God's doing. And in your same life, in your personal life, it's the same way. So during our time at the church after all that, I dealt with what sin looked like and what holiness was, and purging took place. We performed so many wedding ceremonies because all these people got saved, but they didn't know how to live for God. And so they just were coming in off the streets and getting saved, and God was doing a great work in their life. And then I got up and talked about what it meant to have a holy marriage, and they all said, we didn't know that. So now you're marrying everybody. I mean, not everybody, but, you know, you're lining them up. That's when we did baptisms. We're constantly doing baptisms because we had to get all that right. We were coming back and dealing with issues and how to be a good father and how to be a Christian mother and how to be all of that. Now it's time. Now it's time to get a little legalistic. You got to deal with the law and the issue. This is sin and that isn't. That's when that comes. It came during that time. And then I'm winding down anyway. And the last season is winter. Winter is personally sometimes our most difficult season. As we're walking in the yoke with Jesus and He carries us into wintertime, we want to say, Jesus, where'd you go? It's during the wintertime that Jesus is harder to find. It's during the wintertime, it must have been that way on the cross when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's that time in our personal Christian walk where we think Jesus has lost us or we've lost Him. Everybody has it, by the way. Everybody has that. I just want you to know, if you're in one of those moments where you say, I just can't find God, He's right there. You just can't find God. He's still there. His promise is to never leave you nor forsake you, and He hasn't. Winter, though, things seem to go dormant. During the winter, there isn't any fruit. There isn't any leaves. There isn't any life. All the purging's over with. You're just standing there, and the wind's blowing through the limbs, and you're just cold, and it just seems like, what in the world is going on? Why even have winter? Let's just skip this and get on to the next thing. I learned in East Texas the importance of winter. Reed and I were pastoring in Hallsville, and we had that little house that the church furnished us. No one had lived in it in a while. We went in and did some remodeling, cleaned it up, put a floor in. It was really nice. We were tired of watching the animals run underneath, and so we put a floor in. We did a lot of work on it to get it livable, and we did. We barely moved in, though, because I'd done a lot, but I hadn't checked a few things that I just didn't think about, and one of those was the plumbing. So we hadn't lived there long when the commode was flushed but refused to accept what was sent in its direction. And sent it back in our direction. I hollered, everybody run. I don't know. immediately do what you can to stop the flow, and ran outside and pulled the cap off the clean out. And Old Faithful, it was the first thing that came to mind. That thing came out of there like it had been building up for a while. There was good pressure, and it shot up. I ran for my life. Stuff came out. Y'all got it. I've told you enough, you know. So I ran and rented a Roto-Rooter thing and tried to clean it, couldn't get it. Finally, I had to call for help, and the guy came with a big old machine and all kinds of bits, and he is a professional. He didn't have any teeth, but he knew what to do with a Roto-Rooter. I almost wondered if it had got loose on him one time and knocked his teeth out. I didn't know, but he's working pretty hard out there, and I'm watching him, and he starts pulling these roots out. I mean, one after another. He'd cut them up in little sections, you know, and he'd pull them, and then he'd get some out, and they'd hook up, and he'd pull that thing out, and there'd be roots on it. This has been going on for 30 minutes. He's still getting roots. And I said to him, isn't that amazing? Because they were live, healthy roots. I said, it's amazing that right here in the middle of winter, you're pulling roots out of my sewer. He had a little tobacco run down his mouth, and, you know, he's no teeth. He's kind of leaned over there working, and he didn't even raise up, but he looked up at me. He said, boy, you from the city? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I knew you wasn't from the country. He said, because everybody knows roots don't grow in the spring. They grow in the winter. That's a word from God from a guy with tobacco in his mouth. I almost wanted to say, let me run inside and write that down. See, it's during those times that preachers get up and they preach the deep stuff. It's during those times they explain the scriptures on the why and the how and the doctrinal depth that we need underneath our faith. The preaching is different. It's during those times that we learn to study the word, not just read it. It's during those times we listen more than we pray, and we look for that one powerful thought. And we find our faith tapping into things that we didn't know even existed. And the roots of our life reaching down to places we didn't know. The day will come. The day will come when we're going to face something. And we're going to be able to handle it. The storm will blow. And the droughts will come. But our roots will be so deep that we'll still bear fruit. Even when others can't. Why? Because of what happened in the winter, not what happened in the spring. You must have winter. So God spoke to me that day and said, for this church to be the church I want it to be, it can't stay in revival. I don't want this church to have one good revival, outgrow its roots, and some false wind of doctrine blow through here and blow you over. No, I want you to develop and mature and become everything so that season upon season, you can plant seeds in other places, plant trees in other places, multiply this thing, keep it healthy, keep it strong, that it will become and that your people will understand so that they can produce not just one time, that they can talk about, remember when we had a move of God, but they can see another move and then another move and then another move, and they can produce in this community and in another community and another place and another life, and they can become everything they have potential to be. For I will make all things beautiful in my time. And so when we hook up with Jesus, he's not going to speed up and take us some shortcut through winter. He's not going to lead us too soon out of fall. No, he knows what he's doing. And all he asks for us to do is stay in the yoke. Walk in rhythm. Right now, you may be in a time where you say to yourself, I hadn't felt God in a while, Pastor. I mean, I believe him. You're probably like me. You're probably at a place where you can't help but believe Jesus. I mean, I had to realize somewhere in my life that my faith is so deep that I can't help but believe him. Even when I don't understand him. I don't know when that happened. Maybe you're there, maybe you're not. that's where I am. But there's this reality that sometimes he leads me into the shadow of the valley of death. But that's all right. His rod is there. I can't see him, but occasionally I feel that nudge. I don't always hear his voice, but I sense him sometimes. Sometimes during those times, and that's where some of you may be, and you've thought, man, does God even love me? Does he even care for me? Well, the truth is, he loves you so much, he's willing to walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. He's willing to lead you into a winter time so that you can grow root and development that you haven't had. He loves you so much, he'll take you into a time of fall where it seems like the only conversation he wants to have with you is about sin in your life. And it's not because he doesn't love you. It's because he's getting ready to take you to a new place. And those things have to be there. There are times when you're in revival. And wherever you are, be there. If you're in winter, then let him grow your roots. Quit trying to get out early. Quit praying for spring. Pray for winter to have its work in your life. If you're in the fall, say, thank you, God, let's get this done. Stay in the yoke. Wherever you are, he knows what he's doing. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads with me. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for this truth. We thank you for it. I thank you that this church can put their hands around it, grasp it, understand what you're up to. I thank you, God, that you are up to something and you are making this church, it's beautiful now, but you're making it even more beautiful in its time. That the years ahead are better than the years behind. That where you're going next is better than where you've been. You're leading them to great places, great things, to accomplish great purposes. And you're developing them. And you're doing it as you'd work in each person that's in this house, in each person in this church, in this congregation. Every one of them are somewhere in this process. You're being good to them. Now I ask you, Holy Spirit, to encourage them and strengthen them and give them hope. I praise you for what you're doing. And I ask you, O Lord, destroy the enemy's work against them. He will try to sneak in during the winter and discourage them. Do not let him be effective. He'll try to come in during the fall and talk them out of what you're trying to lead them into. He will try to keep them in revival too long and tell them, no, 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 don't leave when it's time to move on. Lord Jesus, do not let the tempter tempt them and lead them away. Do not let them be discouraged or weary in doing well. But in due season, they will reap if they do not faint. I pray this over this congregation, over every person, and over this church. I ask your blessing, your strength to be released to them. Help them, God. Help us all in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, if there's any in this house that have not received you as Savior, I pray for them first. I pray the Holy Spirit of the Lord begin to minister to them and help them. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you begin to awaken them to the reality of your love and your mercy. I pray that you begin to awaken them to your desire to save them and to lift their faith up to believe and receive you as Savior. I pray for them in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, you are the one who brings the conviction of sin. You are the one who convinces us of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I ask you to do your work in any life in this room today that has not received you as Savior. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today, I know I didn't preach a message about salvation. I preached with a process that God uses in developing us. But if you're here today and you know you need to be saved, and you believe Jesus is Lord, and it's time for you to receive him, and you know to, then you don't need me to say anything I haven't already said. The Holy Spirit is at work in you. I want to pray for you. The Lord's brought you today. He's even showed you some things about your own life of how he's prepared you for this moment and this time. He's already speaking to you concerning the fact that you have been in seasons, and he's brought you to a place to understand, and this is your season to receive Christ. This is your moment. If that's you, and you're ready for that, would you raise your hand so I can just pray for you right where you sit? 1, 2, 3, go. I see that hand. Who else? Who else? I see that one. Who else? Anyone? I'm not going to drag it on, but if you're here, I want to pray for everyone that raised their hand. All right, you can put your hands down. Father, we right now pray for those who have raised their hand. I pray by the power of the Spirit of the living God that you would so stir their faith and belief that they would not back down, that they would be ready to completely commit their way unto you, they would be ready to repent and turn away from their sin and turn toward you in your righteousness and believe you for salvation. I ask you, O God, to make this real to them and let today be the day of their salvation. Let their prayer be heard in heaven, and it will be, as they declare and believe and express their faith that what they say in their mouth will be done in their heart, and today they'll be saved. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'd like everyone to stand with me. Just stand where you are. You've been in that chair too long already anyway. Amen. I know today we had a couple of hands that I just prayed for. I want to do something. I believe that we need to finish what we started, don't you? And that God's got his hand on someone. If you raised your hand today, would you take the person next to you and ask them if they'd walk with you and come down here for a special time of prayer? If you raised your hand, I want to lead you to the next part of the prayer. And you don't have to come by yourself. And whoever you're seated with, they'll come with you. If you'll come down, I'd like to pray with you down here and have a special time. 1, 2, 3, go. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't be afraid to come down. And if I missed you and you didn't raise your hand, but you wish you had of, then I want you to raise your hand. Because we're going to believe God to do something very special this morning. Very special. Anyone else join this fine young man that's joined me this morning? Amen. Amen. Come on. There you go. Come on, guys. Come on. Come on. This is the most important thing we do every week. Amen. I know there are seasons where 20 at a time come into the kingdom, but there are always somebody that's ready to receive Christ as their Savior. Amen. And it's not how many, it's who. Praise the Lord. Gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sin? Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sin? You believe you're a sinner? You believe you're a sinner? You believe he's ready to forgive you of that sin? Are you ready to turn away from that old stuff and turn toward the Lord? You ready? Then I want you to repeat after me. And then after we pray, we're going to lay hands on you and pray for you. We're going to break all the old past stuff and set you free for what God has for your future. We're going to ask God to do that. Just say this with me. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. I hope in you. You are my life. You are my strength. You're all I have. I ask you now, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from it. Make me clean. Forgive my past. Forgive my wrong heart. Forgive my wrong desires. And clean me from it. I want to be right. I want to be holy. Come into my life, Jesus. I surrender to you. Whatever you would have me do, I submit to you. And I declare now, you are my Lord. I am no longer a sinner, but I am saved by grace. I receive the salvation of God. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We have some prayer team. Just come up and lay hands on these guys. Just pray that any old stuff that's hounded them just be broken right now. Right now. Any healing that needs to take place in their heart, that it would happen right now. Church, just extend your hand toward them. Just begin to pray for them like it was your child or your grandchild, like it was somebody you loved and knew personally. Pray for them with passion and fervency. Father, in the name of Jesus now, deliver him. Be delivered in the name of Jesus. Be delivered in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, deliver me, God. Break that thing. Break that. Break that old hole. Break that old tie. Break that tie. Break that tie. Break it, God. Break that tie. Loose him from that tie. Loose him from that tie. Loose him, oh God, by your power and by your hand. Let the anointing of the Lord come in. Free him to follow you 100%. Free him. Lord, go back behind him and disrupt everything. Give him no place to return to. But by your grace and power, Let him find you and you alone. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, God. Heal his broken heart. Heal. Let healing come. Let heal all the regret. Let it be gone. Heal. Deliver him from these things. Free him to follow you with joy, with the joy of the Lord. Let the joy of the Lord just begin to fill him up, and that all the things he can undo, doesn't matter. He's released from those. The regret is gone. Faith. Begin to rule in his heart. In the name of Jesus, Thank you, Father. Do this with me. Yes, sir. My real concern is often when I share this, for those who are in a winter time and you've become weary of winter, would you be willing to raise your hand if you feel like you're in a winter season? Don't be ashamed. Just hold your hand up. Everybody hold your hand up. I'm going to pray for you. Just hold your hand up. Reach up to Jesus. Reach up to Jesus. Father, thank you for the winter. Thank you for the roots that can grow now that could not grow at any other time. Thank you, oh God, that even though I don't consider you close and how I feel, I know you're close and I know you're real. I know you're with me. God, I pray for them. I pray that whatever they're feeling or not feeling, they would not walk by feeling. They would not walk by sight, but they would know your word is true and they would hold on to your promises. They would maintain a determined heart and they would stay faithful. They would not grow weary in doing well. They would continue to press on. They would say, God, I haven't felt you, but I know you're real. God, I'm growing roots. I'm going to find a depth I haven't found. I'm going to find a place I haven't been. I'm going to gather understanding I've not known. I'm going to be stronger than I've ever been by the power of who you are. You, oh God, will lead me from this. You, oh God, are preparing me for the revival that's about to come. God, I pray for them. I pray courage and encouragement. Strength and life. I pray they would value this winter. They would no longer be humiliated by it or discouraged because of it, but they would grasp the value of this time in their walk, and they would say, this too is good, for God is leading. They would hold on to you as they walk through this. Give them courage to finish what they've started. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Pastor Joe, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you give the Lord a thanksgiving for what we've experienced this morning? And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will just continue as the teacher to bring forth in our lives all that you've intended, Lord, that we would not just cast it aside and put it away, but that we would be able to receive your word and let it be those seeds and let it be that time of growing, that time of reviving, that time of spring, Lord, that time of fall, even that time of winter, Lord, that we would recognize that that's in your plan also, God. So we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We have a special day today. We're getting ready to serve lunch. We call it dinner. So if you've come today, you're welcome to stay with us, even if this is your first time here, and fellowship with us. We're going to be having a time of fellowship, and then We have some second session that we're going to be sharing some future things for the church. And Pastor Rick DuBose is going to be sharing from his heart at that session as well. And so we are just going to transition here. It's going to take us a little bit. I think the food is ready. We'll announce it. But get some coffee on the way in or on the way out or while you're waiting. Just be able to fellowship and let's stay and see what all else the Lord has for us today. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Hope you can stay with us. It's going to be good.